You know, in the world that we live in today, many people are trying to figure out who they really are. And, you know, people identify with all kinds of things. They identify with their occupation. They identify with their career sometimes, locations. They sometimes try to identify with personalities. You know, we need to find out who we are. And, you know, if you listen to somebody, you can find out, listen to their I statements, and it shows you who they are. You know, they say, I am, referring to who to themselves. And they say, I can, referring to their promises, their performance, I mean. They say, I have, you know, that refers to their possessions. And I remember, you know, refers to the past. And these statements all reveal somewhat the identity of a person. And that's not all bad, you know. But the problem with that is it's forever changing. So you need to find out and have an identity in something that never changes. That's why it's important to understand who you are in Christ. What you have in Christ. And what you can do in Christ. Because, see, that never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. You know, Romans 10:9-10, we all know that because that's the way we receive salvation. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, you believe in your heart that Christ arose from the dead. You confess it with your mouth, and that is, this is true the way you receive salvation. But the same thing is true to experience all of the other things that God says belongs to us. So I want to look at the truths, some truths tonight that will help us to speak the right words, talking about who we are in Christ. First of all, we have to become convinced in our heart of our spiritual identity. Our spiritual identity in Christ. You know, some people only focus on their natural identity. But your natural identity is subject to change. Well, you were once a child. Then you became an adolescent. Then you became an adult. Some of you changed from being single to married. And then some back to single again. You know, for some reason or another. And the list goes on with the changes that come into our lives all the time. So our focus then needs to be on our true identity in Christ. It is a subject that will change. Having an unchanging identity in Christ helps you to be stabilized in a constant changing world. Actually, identifying with Christ determines your spiritual destiny, really. See, you have to read and study the Word of God until you're fully convinced of who you are in Christ. You know, you can read the scripture, I'm the righteous God in Christ. Well, that's a great scripture, but do you really understand what all that scripture entails for who you are in Christ? Because there's a whole lot, because of that, there's a whole lot more that belongs to you. And you find that out by reading and studying the Word of God. You know, whatever the scripture, the Word of God, says about you in Christ is a reality in the spirit realm right now. Psalms 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. See, God wants these redemptive realities in the spirit realm to become a reality in our natural lives. Reading, studying the scriptures in Christ is the first step of getting the promises of God working in our lives. You know, my dad used to say, and many of you knew him, or y'all, some of you actually heard him in person. How many of you ever heard him in person? That's what I figured. Most of you have heard him in person, or on tape, or now on CD, because we've transferred all of his stuff. He was a tremendous Bible teacher for you that did not know who he was. But he used to say, meditating on the in Christ scriptures in the Word of God will change how you live your life in line with the Word of God. He would say, meditate upon the in Christ verses until they become a part of your lifestyle. Think about them. Say them over to yourself. I am. And in Christ. And you put in there what it is. You know, you have to become fully persuaded that you are who these scriptures say you are in Christ before they will ever be effective in your life. You have to believe it. In the truth of the reality of these scriptures in your life only will happen when you become convinced of them. You know, at first, even when you're talking about those scriptures sometimes, they may not seem real to you. But Dad says in his little mini book, he's got a little mini book in him, it's got all these scriptures in it. He said, you keep reading those and rereading those and rereading those until they become a part of you. Okay? Now, when the in Christ scriptures become a part of you, then when trouble or anything else comes, they start coming out. You know, I like to say it this way. If I had a sponge up here and I poured that water in that sponge and I squeeze that sponge, that water would come out of it. If I had tea over here in the sponge, that's what would come out. Whatever's in that sponge and you squeeze it is going to come out. When the devil squeezes you, whatever's on the inside of you, that's what's going to come out. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. In other words, whenever the enemy squeezes you and fear comes, if you know who you are in Christ, you said, no, I'm not receive the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind because I'm in Christ. You know, when you first heard the multiplication table, coming up with the right answer was difficult. But because you went over and over and over and over and over that again, I mean, that was many years ago, as I'll be 79 September the 3rd, many years ago, I started at multiplication table, and to this day, you throw 9 times 9, 81. 7 times 7, 49. I don't even think about it. It just comes out. Any of you the same way? When I said that, how many of you thought that immediately? It becomes such a part of you that when you hear it, the answer's there automatically. That the Word of God has to become so much a part of you, of who you are in Christ, your privileges in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can accomplish because you're in Christ, becomes so much a part of you that no matter what happens in life, you automatically go there. Anybody getting anything?
Amen.
You know, Luke 6:45. In some of these other translations, says, You know, in the New International, it says, out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. The New Living Translation says, whatever's in your heart determines what you say. The 20th century New Testament says, what fills a man's heart rises to his lips. So whatever's there, that's what's going to come out. When you're in a tough situation and the enemy is coming at you with all kinds of things, you either say, oh, no, what am I going to do? Or you say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Because I'm in Christ. Amen. See, you have to open your mouth and confess who you are in Christ. You need to do it daily. Now, I realize there's a whole bunch of I ams. I mean, I've got a list sometimes that I give to my students when I'm teaching on. This is one of my favorite subjects to teach at the school. And I don't have it here, but I've got a whole sheet that's filled on this side and this side of who I am in Christ. And I give them that. And I say, now look, you don't have to say all those every day, but every day say one or two of them. When you get up in the morning, there's one you should say every day. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That's one you should say every day. You see, some people know about these scriptures, but they don't know these scriptures. So I said, what are you talking about? You can know about something without knowing it. Hello. You can know about a car, but you don't know how to take it apart and put it back together again, like some people do. You understand what I'm saying to you? You see, I know a little bit about running sound back there because when I used to travel on the road with Dad, years ago, we had to run the sound. Me and Lynette, we did everything. She played the piano and I led music, if you can believe it. But I did. And I sometimes would have to, set up sound equipment. I know about it, but I'm not a sound man. Now, Ben, y'all know Ben Young that comes over here. He knows about sound and he knows sound. Because he went to school and studied. That's what his degree is in. He's a sound technician out of the number one sound school in the U.S. It's called FOSAIL. It's down in Orlando, Florida. It's where Disney sends all their people to. So he just don't know about sound. He knows sound. See, we just don't we need to get beyond the point that we know about Scripture to the point we know the Scripture. How do we know the Scripture? Because it becomes a part of us just like the multiplication table did. Help me understand what I'm saying to you. If you constantly talk about who you are in Christ, then it becomes a part of you. That's who I am. See, as far as God is concerned, my dad says this on page 9 in that little book in him. As far as God is concerned, everything you have is because you're in Christ. The Bible is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it's your believing it and confessing it which makes it a reality to you. Now, you must maintain a daily identification of who you are in Christ. How many of you this past week, you were somewhere and somebody asked you for identification? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. I had to go pick something up at the Walgreens. And of course they wanted identification. So I had to get out my driver's license to identify who I am. You know, I was somewhere, and they asked me my age, and I told them that, and they said, can you verify that? Do you have any identification? So I pulled this out, and it's got my birth date on there, 9/3/1939. See? You have to identify yourself. Do any of you have a security system on your house? Have you ever set it off accidentally? And then they call you, right? I did it just the other day, didn't I, hon? And so I told them who I was, but I had to give them a code that was my identification, right? You see, we have a code that is our identification, and it's in Christ. In the spirit realm I'm talking about. In Christ. You know, words are important. The words you speak are important. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I really like how the Message says it. Words kill, words give life. They either poison, they're either poison or fruit. You choose. See, your words bring into existence what you're talking about. When you speak the in Christ words, then they begin to begin a reality in your life. You know, you can speak words of doubt and unbelief, or you can speak words of faith. Whether you realize it or not, words are containers, really. They're filled with love, joy, faith, peace, hope. Or they're filled with hatred, doubt, unbelief. You ever walked into a room where some people have been talking and you immediately felt friction? Anybody ever done that? You know why? Because cross words were just spoken in there. Words create an atmosphere. So when you begin to talk about who you are in Christ, you're creating an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to work in against the enemy that's trying to come against you. See, many people miss it because they don't make a bold confession of I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Why do they do that? Because the enemy jumps on their shoulder and starts talking in their ear. Well, I wouldn't say that if I was you. You know, you're just lucky that you're saved. I wouldn't get into that stuff if I was you. Man, with the life you lived, and you talking about you're the righteousness of God in Christ, how can you be righteous? Well, first of all, what does the word righteous mean? Right standing with God. That's the meaning right there, right standing. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, then you're in right standing with God. And you can say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. So you got to boldly believe what the Word of God says about who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can accomplish because of who you are in Christ. You got to believe that, and you got to boldly confess it. You know, many Christians are weak because they don't boldly confess who they are in Christ. A bold confession empowers you. You know, just saying, I mean, Miss Fowler, my first grade teacher, never will forget her. She wrote on that, maybe it was a blackboard. How many of y'all have blackboard and white chalk? Now they got these, what are the kind of boards? I don't know what they call them. Whiteboards with grease pencils or something. I don't know. Anyway. And she asked, old Jack something, and he said, I can't. And she immediately said, kids, don't ever say I can't. Because if you say you can't, you won't. If you say you can, you will. And she wrote it in big letters on the blackboard. I never will forget that. I can't. You know, you got to believe in yourself. How many of you guys either played basketball, football, or ran track in high school? Or maybe even college? You know what? Our ladies too. if you don't believe that you are good enough to play and you're better than the guy you're against, there ain't no use you getting on the field. You ever heard a coach say that? Coach John Fenderson, my basketball coach, he'd come through there. He said, he'd say, see yourself making the shot. See yourself doing it. What's he doing? He's getting us, and he said, say it. Making the confession. Probably any of you that's played basketball, probably, and you're by yourself at your house in the hoop or in the gym somewhere, and you're dribbling around. 5, 4, 3, 2. Win the game. What are you doing? You're rehearsing to yourself who you are. So you do the same thing with the Word of God by saying who you are in Christ. I can't. I think I told you this before, but I'll tell it again. It's a good illustration. I was going to Bible school, Southwestern Assembly of God College, Bible College. Now it's called Southwestern Assembly of God University, SAGU they call it now, at Waxahachie, Texas. And I was working on a freight dock, Merchants Fast Motor Freight in Dallas, Texas. And old Sims, I don't know how they do it now, but they had this line, and it was like these things that you used to, they'd pull your car through a car wash, but just drop down in and it would catch it. And these little buggies, they had a place to put the bill of sale, and then you put the freight on there, and then it had a back blackboard on the front, and you'd write 3 or 78 or 32. And that was you're in the breakout. You're breaking out all these city trailers that have come in, and you're breaking that freight out, and you're sending it. If you're going to send it up to 78, that's going to go to Odessa, Midland, Odessa. Send it to 32. It's going to Wichita Falls. Send it to 3, hole 3. It's going to El Paso. And so when it'd get up in there, the guy that was loading the truck, he'd yank it off and load it in the truck. You're unloading these city trucks. And old Sam, he would ride one of them and hang his leg over the front of there, and wasn't too nice what he would say to you sometimes. But he'd come down through the line, and I heard him coming down the line. Can you do this? And then, no, 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 no. Well, all these guys that are working down there, there's 2 carloads of us from the school, and we get up there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we work from 2 till they take us off the clock. And it was really good work, because I was working 4 days a week most of the time and making more than them guys that was working 6 days a week from 11 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning at Plaxis Manufacturing. I did work that one summer while I was going to summer school, and that wasn't no fun. And so he kept asking them guys, can you do this, can you do this? And I said, he got to me and said, Hagin. I said, yeah, Sims. He said, can you do this? I said, yes. He said, okay, tomorrow report such and such. Now he goes on by, and this guy over here rode in my car. We had 2 cars and carpool. He rode in my car. And he said, Hagin, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can, and by tomorrow I'll know how. And he said, well, how are you going to learn that? I said, well, I got a buddy that works another freight company, and I think he knows something. And then I said, did you ever hear of anything called a library? Because we didn't have an internet back in that day, you know. You ever hear a library? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's the first place I'm going to hit in the morning, is that library. And I'm going to look up all the information I can about that. When I get here at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I'll know how to do the job. But I believed I could do it, or I'd have never got that job. And it was a whole lot better than the job I was doing. Only problem was it only lasted a month, and then I went back on the line. Man, you loading and unloading freight out of a truck, you know. So school had started, and I bought me a bunch of new T-shirts and stuff for school. And after about 2 months, All my shirts and T-shirts were getting too tight because I was building up my lap muscles and building up these muscles, you know. I found out that you build a whole lot stronger muscles with hard work than you do lifting weights in a weight room. I never will forget, I was down there in Dallas when the Cowboys started, and one of my friends, he's a barber, and he did a lot of them's hair. Well, actually, he was in the guard with them, National Guard, and they were all saying, man, Bob Lilly, he come in there, and they said, he can lift more weight than any of us, and he's never hardly worked out in the weight room. And somebody asked him how. He said, man, he said, I've been lifting cows and hay bales since I was 8 years old. He said, I didn't have to work out on no weight machine. So, you know, making a bold confession is working yourself out. You work out. You work in those spiritual muscles. You're learning who you are in Christ, what you can do in Christ. The bold confession of who you are in Christ empowers you to walk in the blessings of God. It empowers you to walk in the victory of God. It empowers you to receive all that God said in His Word belongs to you. All right. Now I realize I didn't go very long, but I want you to stand up. Did y'all get anything?
Amen.
All right. Now, we're going to say this. Y'all say it with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am
blood-bought.
Child of God. I am justified before God. I am
a new person
in Christ. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17.
I always
triumph
in Christ Jesus.
I am
more than a conqueror
in Christ Jesus.
I am healed.
I am whole
because of Christ.
I have victory
through the Lord Jesus Christ.
I can do all things
through Christ which strengthens me.
That's just a few, very few confessions that you can make.
But if you confess these realities, that confession will enable you to walk in what you're saying right there.
You'll begin to walk in that.
You'll begin to see that everything will change and life will be different because of who you are in Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, talk to these people for a few minutes about who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, what they can do because of who they are in Christ. Father, help each of us to understand more and more and more about the in Him realities, these redemptive realities that You made for us when You died on the cross. Help us to be able to receive everything that You say is ours, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you happen to be in this place, I never like to preach that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate their life to God. If you happen to be in this place and you need Christ or you need to rededicate your life to God, let me see your hand right now and I'm going to pray for you. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? According to the Bible. Anybody want to be healed tonight? Anybody need healing? If you raise your hands, if you do. If you raise your hand, would you mind stepping out now, coming down here so I can shake hands with you and pray with you myself? If you raised your hand, praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank God. What do you need?
Well, they had some tests done on me.
Anybody else that raised their hand, come on down here now. If you raised your hand, we'll pray for you. Father, I thank You right now for the healing power of God. Flow into this lady's body.
Yes.
Father, I thank You.
she'll be whole in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.